In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Life Show, the world's happiest country, the newest exercise craze, the latest longevity hack, tips for terrible chefs, and a whole lot more. Faith, family, fitness, health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show. Well, welcome to Q&A episode number 442. I don't know if it's 442. I just kind of pull numbers out my butt. I've been podcasting for, gosh, I think 16 years now at a rate of twice per week. I used to own two other podcasts, one called Endurance Planet and one that I didn't own, but I ran called The Get Fit Guy's Guide to Achieving a Better Body or something like that. So anyways, I have probably recorded, I don't know, I would say maybe 4,000 podcast episodes, but roughly this is Q&A number 442 on the brand new rebranded Ben Greenfield Life. Check it out at bengreenfieldlife.com. Show notes at bengreenfieldlife.com/442. And this one's going to be a doozy, as I am prone to say, because it's on Twitter Spaces. We did this on Clubhouse. I'm sorry. I don't want to piss off all the Clubhouse folks, but maybe I've got a little bit of Elon Musk fever because I've decided to jump into Twitter and use Twitter Spaces to record an actual podcast. What's that mean? Well, it means that on today's show, as usual, I'll go through some news flashes from some cool little snippets from the health, fitness, longevity, personal optimization news front that I wanted to bring to you. And then after that, I'm just going to jump straight into bringing people live up here from Twitter to ask questions. And so if you're listening to this podcast after it comes out, then please know that you can go to grab the newsletter at bengreenfieldlife.com. Follow me on Instagram or follow me on Twitter or all three if you're a glutton for punishment from me. And you will be the first to find out when we record these live episodes if you want to join in. They're typically weekdays, more specifically, typically Wednesdays, and even more specifically, typically Wednesdays at about 10:30 a.m. Pacific that we usually go mics hot, as they say in the recording media industry with this thing. And that means that if you join us live on Twitter Spaces, you'll get to ask a question then. I'm at twitter.com/BenGreenfield, I think is my handle on Twitter. So that being said, let's go ahead and jump in to this week's news flashes. All right, so the world's happiest country rankings came out, and drum roll please, the happiest country in 2022. And I have to say they are pretty happy because I've been there four times. There's actually a great little biohacking event, the biohacking, what do they call it, like a symposium or a conference or an expo there. It's in Helsinki. You guess it, it's Finland. As a matter of fact, a lot of these Nordic countries rank very high based on life evaluations from this Gallup World Poll that comes out every year. The Nordic country Finland and its neighbors, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Iceland, they all score quite well on everything from healthy life expectancy to GDP per capita to social support in times of trouble, low corruption, high social trust. Denmark came in number 2. Iceland came in number 3. Sweden and Norway were 7th and 8th. Switzerland, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg took places 4 through 6. Israel was number 9. New Zealand rounded out the top 10, the Kiwis. And so Finland, interestingly enough, what are they doing up there in Finland that makes them so happy, do you ask? Well, believe it or not, I, for the past 3 months, have been behind the scenes involved in a top secret project. I'm actually producing a docuseries on happiness with my friend Jeff Hayes, based out of Salt Lake City, the same cat who's produced docuseries like COVID Revealed and Pandemic Revealed and Cancer Revealed. And this one's called Hacking Happiness. As a matter of fact, we dug into and we identified key factors of happiness. There's a whole bunch that I learned about in this fantastic docuseries. I've literally, over the past 3 months, gotten to interview 40 different people about how we achieve happiness. But a few things that stand out. In addition to Finland having a schooling system that's all based around creative free play, and I think most kids don't start a formal traditional education out there until about seventh grade, up until which time they're pursuing their passions, they're in nature, and I would say that that formative part of upbringing certainly will contribute to happiness. But also, here's a few other factors of happiness. As a matter of fact, these are such great factors of happiness that I have them on a mug that I drink my coffee out of every morning. I went to this website called Zazzle, and maybe I'll put a link for you in the show notes over at bengreenfeldfitness.com/442 to my big-ass mug that I designed on Zazzle with 8 factors of happiness. These 8 factors specifically coming from one of the largest studies on happiness that was done at Duke University You know what they are? Well, first, number one key factor of happiness: lack of suspicion and resentment. Okay, nursing a grudge is a major factor in unhappiness. So happy people have a lack of suspicion and resentment. I live my life by that old Bible verse, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Just 2 nights ago, I recall sending what I considered to be a rude and a short email to one of my employees. And I went to bed at 9:30 p.m., and about 9:45, 9:50 p.m., I'm still laying there, and I could feel something unsettled in my soul. And I thought, geez, I'm letting the sun go down on my anger. I'm going to sleep with a slight thing in my soul against somebody else. And those build up. There's a fantastic author named Jim Wilson. If you look him up, he's written a book on bitterness. I don't remember the name of it. It's about bitterness, and I'll find it and I'll put it in the show notes. But it just goes into how bitterness will eat a hole in your soul. And I've written articles at BenGreenfieldLife.com about how if you look at Chinese traditional medicine, you know, bitterness is associated with bone cancer and some other chronic diseases, even cancer. So I always one of my philosophies in life, I would say, is to be at peace. The Apostle Paul in the Bible says this: try to be at peace with all men. And when they say men in the Bible, they're so sexist, those Bible people. They mean men and women. So I try to be at peace with all men and women, right? I don't want to be a pushover. You know, I want to stand up for myself and be confident in what I believe in, but I want to be at peace as much as I can, and I don't want to have these grudges. So I rolled over and I texted that person. I said, I'm sorry. I sent you a rude and short email earlier today. It was me. It wasn't you. I was having a rough day. I apologize. Please accept my apologize. Please accept my apology. Please forgive me. I'm shutting off my phone now to go to bed, but I hope you get this, right? And I clicked send, and then I turned and I rolled over and went to bed. Okay, because I know that a lack of suspicion and resentment is one key factor of happiness. All right, another one is not living in the past. Preoccupation with past mistakes and failures leads to depression. Okay, so I'm not going to spend as long as on all these as I did on the first one, okay, because we got other things we want to talk about too. But basically, you get the idea. You're not an idiot. You hear me. Not living in the past, okay? So when things go wrong, yeah, replay them, process them, make sure they're not humming away in the back of your subconscious, you know, that can lead to low-level trauma. Deal with them. Don't shove them down and away, but take care of mistakes, visit mistakes, and then move on. The best way I can recommend that you do this is my own evening process that I lead my family through as well, of self-examination. At the end of each day, we ask ourselves, we close our eyes, we play the whole day like a movie in our mind. We ask ourselves, what good have I done today? What could I have done better today? And how did I live out my life's purpose today? We process those mistakes. We process those failures. We write them down, especially the part about what could I have done better this day. We write them down, we learn from them, we move on. My wife and I also have this philosophy. I'm giving you guys a lot of philosophies today. Jeez. Well, that's what there's this saying that we say to each other. We say, no regrets, only gratefulness. No regrets, only gratefulness. We learn from everything. I had an argument with my wife 20 minutes ago. Okay, literally 20 minutes ago, I had an argument with her. We got one of these new robot vacuum cleaners. I hate it. I hate it. That's a strong word, but I hate this robot vacuum cleaner. It goes around the house, making all the noise, and vacuuming all day long, and clean, 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 clean. Then I find out this morning it's got a Wi-Fi signal on it, bombarding my kids and my house with Wi-Fi. I took my wife out on the back porch and I said, babe, I need a no judgment zone vent. We have that saying with each other, right? Like we have this understanding between each other. And I recommend this from a relationship standpoint. I say, babe, I need a no judgment zone. You need to let me vent. She said, okay, go. Okay. And then her job is to just stand there. I said, this vacuum cleaner is driving me nuts. It's go, go, go. It's vacuum, vacuum, vacuum. And then you combine that with all these chairs getting put up on the table and you constantly sweeping and swooping in and cleaning up after me when I spill my smoothie. I feel like I can't even freaking fart without somebody swooping in and having to clean, and the vacuum cleaner going the whole time isn't helping things. I go on and on. Then she goes, okay, I hear you. She gives me a hug. We hug. We move on. No regrets. Only gratefulness. We learned our lesson. Ben doesn't like the vacuum. Keep the vacuum off when Ben's around, or maybe we get a new one that you can disable the Wi-Fi on. Okay. Number three, not wasting time and energy fighting things you cannot change. Okay. Happy people, don't waste time and energy fighting things you cannot change. Duh. It's the Viktor Frankl thing, right? We choose to be happy no matter our circumstances. We choose to be content no matter our circumstances. Something that's not into your control, great. You don't have any control over it? Be happy. Smile. All right? No use wasting your time and energy fighting things you cannot change. I'm not saying you need to have learned helplessness here, right? You don't roll over and just say, oh, life sucks. I can't do anything about it. I'm going to go curl up on my bed in a fetal position, right? Usually those kind of things are things that you can control. Like, I don't know, masks, right? Be like, oh, I don't know what to do. They tell me to wear the mask. I don't want to wear the mask. I know a lot of people aren't even making you wear masks anymore, but I'm just using this as an illustrative example. All right, that is in your control, okay? That is in your control. You can take off your mask and you can hold up your middle finger to whoever's telling you to put on the mask, okay? You can do that. That is under your control. If you're on an airplane and it's super annoying you, well, you got to call an audible there. And maybe you're going to say, okay, this mask is super annoying me, but I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm going to be happy no matter my circumstances. What I'd really love to do right now is stand up and tell everybody how stupid this is, that I need to wear this mask except for when I'm eating. Because apparently when I'm eating, viruses magically go away as soon as I pull down my mask to, you know, take a bite, then pull it back up again while I'm chewing, then pull it back down to take a bite and pull it back up again while I chew. You get the idea, right? Look, even look, okay. And I'm just going to come right out and say, I'm pretty sure even Dr. Anthony Fauci himself chuckles at this. Like, deep down inside, he's got to be thinking, this is ridiculous. The virus doesn't really go away when we take a bite of our peanut, right? But, you know, we have this whole idea, like, what's Robert Malone call it? Mass psychosis or something like that, where everybody else is doing it, so we might as well. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? What I'm talking about, things that you cannot change, all right? My good friend Jay wasn't able to join us for today's podcast because of storm issues and the internet going down. You think he's at home getting all down on himself, getting all grumpy because he couldn't change the weather because he's not the meteor man? What do you call the person who can change the weather? Bill Gates, because he's not Bill Gates who can change the weather. No, he's not wasting time and energy fighting things he cannot change. Be happy. Be content no matter your circumstances. Be content no matter your circumstances. Choose to be happy. Don't seek happiness. See happiness. See what I'm saying? Don't seek happiness. See happiness. You can be happy no matter what. Number four, stay involved with the living world. Resist withdrawal and become reclusive during stress. That's what unhappy people do. Okay, they withdraw and they become reclusive during stress. Happy people, stressful times, we get with other people. We throw dinner parties. We dance, ecstatic dance, play, move, hit some tennis balls, have dinner with your family, sing some songs with people, make some music with people, stamp your feet and clap with people, stay involved with the living world. Do not withdraw and become reclusive during times of stress. Rely upon your fellow human beings. We aren't lone wolves. We rely upon our fellow human beings, the pheromones they produce, the electromagnetic energies that they produce, their eyes, their hearts, their brains, their skin. Touch people, be with people, live with people, stay involved with the living world. Number five, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. No one gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. All right. Happy people refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Kind of relates to that third one. Choose to be happy no matter your circumstances. Like, your kid got sick and your car broke and your dog threw up on the floor and your cat pooped next to the dog's throw up. And I like how all of my examples include body fluids. And you, you got a call from your significant other that they're pissed at you about, I don't know, vacuum cleaner. Well, you know what? You can either look at life like a sad country music song and you can say, woe is me, or you can just say, you know what? I'm going to plaster a smile on my face. Even if I don't feel happy, I'm going to put a perma-smile on until I do feel happy. Because you know what? Life hands me a raw deal. I turn around. I like the guy in the Bible again, the book of Job, right? In 24-hour time span, God kills his kids, destroys his home, kills all of his livestock, his goats, his cows, everything. Gives him a bunch of sores and makes him super, super sick. Because like Satan told God, he's like, oh yeah, I can crack this dude. You watch me, I can crack this dude. And Job goes, you know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And his wife's like, you should curse God and die. And he's like, uh-uh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what happens? Like a few pages later, he gets it all back and like twice as much. Because God looks down, he's like, yeah, this dude trusts me no matter what. So I'm going to big time bless him. And I refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Number six, cultivate old-fashioned virtues. Love, compassion, humor. Loyalty, old-fashioned virtues. Happy people cultivate these. Happy people. They think about things like love and laughter and humor and compassion and loyalty. They familiarize themselves with those. They plaster them on their walls. We have our Greenfield family mission statement, which ties in all of our family values. Go listen to my podcast with Rich Christensen to learn how we made that with his wonderful Legato Family Foundation. We just hung our family logo flags on either side of our door. Last night. I'll post that to Instagram soon. We got our family mugs. We got our family shirts. We got our family hats, all with our logo, our family crest. And all these things show our family values of authenticity and adventure and joy and love. My company, Ben Greenfield Life, all our employees know we got these values, these virtues. We foster them. We talk about them. We have team huddles. Just this morning, yesterday morning, we had a team huddle about joy, right? One of our values. We dwell on these things. Okay, cultivate old-fashioned virtues. David Hawkins' book, David Hawkins, Healing and Recovery, or Power and Force. He talks about the vibrational energy of love and peace and joy versus the vibrational energy of anger and fear and shame. Guess which ones vibrate higher? Guess which ones come out your freaking pores when you generate feelings of peace and love and joy and cultivate old-fashioned virtues? And it's almost like it covers up, it blankets all the nasty stuff. Love covers all. That's another theme in our household. Love covers all. Shit goes south. You get in an argument. You're annoyed at somebody. You're down. Say, I love you. Say, I love you to that thing that annoys you. Ben, say, I love you to that vacuum that's driving you nuts going around the floor, sweeping up with its stupid Wi-Fi signal. Say, I love you. I love you, vacuum. I love you. Love covers all. I love my wife for buying that stupid vacuum. All right? I love her for being a clean freak. I love her for getting all OCD in my space when I'm trying to work and she's cleaning up behind me. I love that. I love it. You see what I'm saying? All right. I think you get it. Okay, number seven, don't expect too much from yourself. All right? Don't expect too much from yourself. The great book about this, The Gap Versus the Gain by Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy. All right? The expectations that you set for yourself each day can often dictate how happy you are about your day, my friend. Okay, if you tell yourself I'm going to work out today for an hour and you stress yourself trying to squeeze that in and maybe don't squeeze it in and you get in a half hour and you feel like crap, you're like, oh, I didn't get my workout in. I only moved for a half hour today. Only wrote 200 words today instead of 400 words. Didn't get that time with my kids that I wanted to get in or that tennis game at the end of the day or didn't have lunch. You know, we set all these expectations up for ourselves. They're stupid. We fabricate them ourselves, right? And then we get sad that we don't achieve them. And look, I'm a goal setter. I'm all about scheduling and rigidity and calendaring. I'm one of the most calendared people you'll ever meet. But yet, at the same time, I give myself permission to not get down on myself, all right? Look at everything as a gain, all right? Gain, not as they say it, but again, that book, The Gap Versus the Gain. Read it. Read the book. It'll change your life. Don't expect too much from yourself. There's a gap between expectation and ability. That gap between expectation and ability creates a feeling of inadequacy. Eliminate the gap, you eliminate the feeling of inadequacy. Don't expect too much from yourself. Don't expect too much from yourself. And if you do create goals, just tell yourself at the same time, you know what? This goal is amazing. I'm going to feel amazing if I achieve it. I'm also going to feel amazing if I don't achieve it. Life goes on. I'm going to be happy no matter what. Not using that as an excuse to be lazy and a slacker and a procrastinator, but using that as a reason to just be happy no matter what. Nothing's going to get me down. Even if I don't achieve my moonshots, it's not going to get me down. Even if I shoot for the stars and I get to the moon, you know what? That's great. I got to the moon. Win. Don't expect too much from yourself. Number 8, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test measuring happiness. It's like my friend Arthur Brooks said when I interviewed him for this docuseries. He also wrote a great book. Oh my goodness. If you're a man or a woman over 40, you need to read his book, From Strength to Strength. So good. So good about how we have this need as we age to progress from fluid intelligence and achieving and learning and mastering skills to crystallized intelligence, to mentoring, to teaching, to leading, to being a king in our latter half. Find something bigger than yourself to believe in. What's that have to do with what Arthur Brooks said to me when I interviewed him? He said, Ben, there's two kinds of people. There's unhappy people. They use people, they love things, and they worship themselves. They use people, they love things, and they worship themselves. Then there's happy people. Happy people use things, love people, and worship God. Happy people use things, love people, and worship God. All right? Get that? So we don't use people, love things, and worship ourselves. We use things, love people, and worship God because we've found something bigger than ourselves to believe in. Life is pretty magical when you live it as though you're in this magic J.R.R. Tolkien-esque medieval story with fairies and goblins and elves and orcs and dragons and hobbits and this magic story written out for your life and sacredness and the idea that certain things don't happen by accidents and quantum physics dictates that the dream that you're having might be the same dream someone else is having halfway across the globe and you're exchanging photons of energy and that things like distance healing and teleportation and hands-on healing and invisible energy coming from our hands and all these crazy things can exist. And anybody who's done maybe plant medicines like, you know, ayahuasca or DMT or psilocybin or something like that, you've seen this other world that's like existing outside of us, this other spiritual dimension. And you know, if you've ever engaged any of those things, or perhaps you've been praying and anointed with the Holy Spirit and caught up deep in prayer and a vision of God, and you're like, holy cow, there's something bigger out there that exists outside of me. Man, it's a magical way to live compared to being a bunch of chunks of flesh and blood on a small rock floating through the planet, figuring out who can fuck the most and have the most cars and get the biggest house and put the most money in the bank, and then you die and game over. Jeez, I like the magic life better, even if it's silly. You know what? It's Pascal's wager. You ever hear Pascal's wager? It's like, yeah, maybe God doesn't exist. Maybe there's no big guy in the sky. Maybe magic doesn't exist. Maybe sacredness of nature doesn't exist. Maybe plants don't talk to each other. Maybe there is no creator. Maybe there is no complexity of life. Maybe we all evolved. Maybe. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with believing the opposite, right? It doesn't hurt anybody to believe the opposite, unless you're one of those stupid, like, old, like, crusader, you know, I don't know, you know, the old Catholic Church who made people pay for their sins and tortured people. Yeah. Any religion, any person can be bad. But I mean, for the most part, like, believing in God and believing in magic and believing in the sacredness of nature and believing that plants can talk to people and people can talk to plants and there's a whole spiritual dimension around you. Most people I know who believe in that are like better off for believing in it than for not believing in it, right? And frankly, I know I'm painting with a pretty broad brush here, but most like atheists that I know who don't believe in anything bigger than themselves and bigger than humans, they're like not very happy people. I know I'm painting with a broad brush there, but for the most part, they're not very happy people. All right. So those are the 8 key factors of happiness. The 8 key factors of happiness. I'll link to them in the show notes if you want to review them. If you want to review them, if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/442. But once again, lack of suspicion and resentment, not living in the past, not wasting time and energy, fighting things you cannot change. Stay involved with the living world. Refuse to indulge in self-pity. Cultivate old-fashioned virtues. Don't expect too much from yourself and find something bigger than yourself to believe in. All right. Apparently the people in Finland do a pretty good job of that. All right, so a few other things before I take a few questions here from Twitter Spaces, for anybody who's still hanging with me on Twitter. A newest research-proven flavor of exercise that allows for impressive results without inflammation or muscle damage. It's the new thing, people. It's not high-intensity interval training, HIIT. It's high-intensity functional training, HIFT. Brand new study from the Journal of Strength Conditioning Research. They had a whole bunch of physically active volunteers do 8 weeks of an HIFT program, 3 times a week. All right, they did 4 rounds of a 9-exercise circuit, 30 seconds hard, 15 seconds easy. This is very similar to what you might experience if you walk into, F45. Those F45 classes, they actually get pretty close to doing something like this. Right? But you can do it, and you can set up a circuit, for example, in your home. Let's say kettlebell swings, burpees, bear crawls, high knees, dips, jumping jacks, overhead press, and bodyweight squat. Maybe a bicycle crunch. I'll actually link to a high-intensity functional training workout, okay? You set the timer. 30 seconds of one exercise as hard as you can go, 15 seconds off. Move on to the next exercise. 30, 15. Move on to the next exercise. 30, 15. Well, this recent study showed that all of these people who did a workout like this had massive improvements in cardiorespiratory and neuromuscular physical fitness, but they did not have significant inflammation or muscle damage. All right, so they were stressing out their bodies, they were getting fit, but it wasn't resulting in a whole lot of inflammatory and muscle damage markers, and that's great. That's wonderful. It's going to get you to the Olympics? No. No, you got to create some inflammation and muscle damage if you want to be like posing on stage as a bodybuilder or competing in the Olympics. But if you just want to stay fit, heck, that's easy enough. Choose 9 full body exercises, string them together in a circuit, 4 rounds, 30 seconds on, 15 seconds off. I'm kind of sucky at math, but I think that's like a 20 to 25 minute workout. Easy. So it's HIFT. If you're a personal trainer listening in, or somebody who just wants the minimum effective dose of exercise, look this stuff up. HIFT. I'll link to the study in the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/442. I'll also link to a sample workout, 20 to 30 minutes max, functional, high intensity, functional training workout anybody can do. And the cool thing is less recovery implications, less need to go suck down your blueberry antioxidant smoothie and go pay $70 to get into a cryotherapy chamber afterwards because you're so sore, right? You bounce back quickly from these type of workouts that don't beat you up. All right, so there you have it. HIFT, the newest research-proven flavor of exercise that allows us for impressive results without inflammation or muscle damage. All right, so I told you I'd tell you about the latest longevity hack. Here it is. Here it is. This is the newest one. This is a study where they took mice. Okay, they took mice and they looked at the mitochondria. They took these mice about halfway through these mice's lives. Okay, that's when mice begin to show a drop in glutathione levels and they develop mitochondrial dysfunction and oxidative stress. For a mouse, that's about 65 weeks. Okay, it's about 65 weeks of age when this happens to a mouse. Right, in humans, let's say that's around 40. Okay, let's say it's 40. And so. What they did with these mice, as soon as that drop in glutathione started to occur, they started to replenish a couple of things that are responsible for maintaining mitochondrial function and maintaining glutathione levels and decreasing oxidative stress, particularly the type of oxidative stress that affects these animals' heart and liver and kidneys, okay? And so they actually found the heart, the liver, and the kidneys all had glutathione deficiencies, oxidative stress, mitochondrial dysfunction, and abnormal mitophagy. That's a difficulty in disposing of damaged mitochondria. It's like the body can't clean itself up anymore. All right, the little automatic vacuums rolling around and those mitochondria aren't going anymore. Okay, I mean, the Wi-Fi and the little self mitochondrial vacuum cleaner cleanups broke. All right, so what they did was they totally reversed these issues in a pretty potent life extension formula, where all they did was they combined two molecules, glycine and N-acetylcysteine. Glycine and N-acetylcysteine. They put those two molecules together, they gave them to the mice, and it reversed the aging process. Well, last I checked, you can get glycine and N-acetylcysteine, even though the FDA recently cracked down on N-acetylcysteine, you can still find it, for not that much money on Amazon. Okay, so when I saw this study, I'm like, well, geez, glycine and NAC. Now, I already take the Keon aminos, so I get enough glycine precursors. And actually, I don't use N-acetylcysteine I use a form of glutathione that's called Alms Bio Glutathione. It's PQQ, CoQ10, and glutathione, and like this little orange creamsicle thing. I'll link to it in the show notes. That's what me and my sons take, because all three of us have we got our genes tested by the DNA company. It turns out all three of us possess the SNPs that basically make us less likely and less able to produce our own glutathione. So we all supplement with glutathione. Same thing with brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Me and both my sons don't produce adequate levels of this stuff that's like Miracle-Gro for the brain, so all three of us supplement with lion's mane extract. Okay, I'm all about genetic testing and then filling in the gaps based on what you find from genetic testing. Go listen to my interview with Dr. Mansoor Mohammed at the DNA company to see what I mean about and to learn more about that. But basically, glycine and N-acetylcysteine. Glycine and N-acetylcysteine. And we're getting long on the two, so I'm not going to give you all like the exact amounts and ratios and everything. I'll link to the study. I did reach out to my friends at Thorne, those lazy bastards. You guys, if you're listening in, Paul, Will, get back to me on that email, because I emailed my friends at Thorne and I asked them if they made it. We don't make it at Keon yet, but I think there are a couple companies that make glycine NAC 1-2 combos. If you have your favorite source, let me know over in the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/442. Comment over there, and hopefully anybody who's found a good source of glycine and N-acetylcysteine, preferably both put together, because I'm lazy and I don't like to buy too many supplements, let me know, because this study looks pretty promising. All right. So another article that came out that I thought was just great for people who suck at cooking. I suck at cooking. I'm a total imposter. I wrote a cookbook and I suck at cooking, you guys. I wrote a freaking cookbook. And still, every time I get in the kitchen, I start to make stuff. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I hope this turns out. Okay. And I wrote a cookbook. but anyway, so this article's great. It gets into a whole bunch of little tips for people who can't cook or who struggle with cooking. So, for example, I realize this flies in the face of what I recommended when it came to getting rid of Wi-Fi in the house and not having a smart home and Wi-Fi-enabled vacuum cleaners rolling around on the floor all day. But one is to basically get a smart speaker. Okay, a smart speaker in the kitchen, you say to it, you can like set timers. Go, smart, Alexa, you know, set timer for 10 minutes. Convert units, right? Convert, quarts to ounces for me, or teaspoons to milliliters for me. Buy thyme and rosemary at the grocery store and send that to my phone, right? So a smart speaker in the kitchen, when your hands are busy doing other stuff, and you can even tell the smart speaker to play a different type of music, you know, we're in the kitchen. So that's one thing. That's one thing that can be useful. The next is to basically begin to get out of the practice of the leftovers trap, okay? A lot of people eat leftovers 2, 3, 4 nights in a row. Now, what I do instead is I elevate the leftovers, okay? So first of all, if it's more than 2 days, I toss it, or it goes to the dogs, or it goes in the compost pile, because leftovers are a significant source of histamine issues, okay? A lot of people feel crappy, they feel unhealthy, it's because they're eating too many leftovers, and a lot of foods, they develop a lot of histamine-inducing molecules when they sit for long periods of time. So first of all, I go through leftovers pretty quick because I don't want them in my refrigerator for more than 2 days. But like, I made brisket the other night, okay? Made brisket. Next day, I've got leftover brisket. What do? I don't take anything out to thaw for dinner, but I take the brisket, right? I drench it in olive oil and salt, a little bit of raw honey, and some beef suet. Beautiful, beautiful fat. I broil it in the oven and get it nice and crispy. I cut it up with scissors into little chunks, and I wrap it in the siete coconut flour tortillas, right? With a little bit of radish and some Primal Kitchen sauces and some of my friend Joey's hot sauce. I made myself brisket tacos, right? With the leftovers. I didn't just take the brisket out and eat it. So either turn your leftovers into a different meal or just get rid of the idea of leftovers. So leftovers, that's a great thing. You take leftovers and make new meals out of them. I hope that makes sense. Another one is looking for formulas and then adapting them. Okay. That means that with a few judicious changes, you can exchange your mileage from one recipe. So like you can swap chickpeas for butter beans. You can swap coconut milk for tinned tomatoes. You can swap turmeric for oregano. Okay, the best book to read to wrap your head around this is Salt, Sugar, Acid, Fat. The book Salt, Sugar, Acid, Fat is a wonderful book because it teaches you more about the chemistry of cooking. You know, my sons have a cooking podcast. Shameless plug, it's at gogreenfields.com. 2 episodes a month. They teach you all these cool cooking concepts. A couple of 13-year-old boys, they teach you this stuff. All right. And what you'll find if you watch them is that they're always teaching you like how to make cool little substitutes. All right. Throw a little bit of this in, throw a little bit of that in, substitute this for that, you know, substitute, some kind of coconut cream instead of regular milk, or substitute, a shaved carrot for a Parmesan cheese. Like, there's all sorts of cool little things you can do once you open up your mind. This article gets into all that. I'll link to the article in the show notes. All right, and then one other, and I'm just going to throw one more at you, is find a source you can trust, okay? A lot of Google search results for recipes, that's just good SEO, and there's a lot of bad recipes out there. Believe it or not, we have this human cognitive bias where if it's written down and it's on the internet, or if it's in a book, we assume that it's true and right and just, and it's not. It's not. When I read books, I'm constantly telling myself, this author could be full of bullshit and just found a publisher who is willing to publish this. Nothing I could be reading right now could be true. All right. The only book I ever read that I assume is true is the Bible, because I believe that's the inspired word of God and is like absolute truth. Aside from that, every book I read, I'm like, this might be one big steaming, stinky pile of bullshit. All right. That's the way I approach books. Like, I'm skeptical, not in a bad way. I'm just like, I read and I'm constantly asking myself, is this true? Can I know this to be true? Right. And so same thing with recipes. You know, when you find a recipe online, it doesn't mean it's good, but my way that I search for recipes is I use the search term best, which is amazing, by the way. What I mean by that is if you do a search and you say, instead of searching for like, let me think here, ribeye steak, reverse sear recipe. You search for the best ribeye steak reverse sear recipe, or instead of searching for homemade macaroni and cheese, you search for best homemade macaroni and cheese recipe, and you usually get better results. But the other thing that I do now, even though I'm not a paleo diet person, usually I find if I append the word paleo when I'm searching for recipe, like sweet potato fries, paleo, or macaroni and cheese, paleo, right? By adding the word paleo, you usually come up with healthy results that don't have a lot of the vegetable oils and the grains, the added sugars and things like that. So that's my hack, because I use the word best and I use the word paleo. I don't use those two together a lot, but now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should, right? Why wouldn't I search for the best homemade paleo macaroni and cheese? Dude, I don't know. I have to try it. My computer might explode. We'll see. All right, so I'll link to this article in the show notes, though, but it's a great article for crappy cooks. It's a great article for crappy cooks, all right? I'll just stop there because there's so much more in that article, but I also want to leave time for a few questions from you guys. All right, last news flash I wanted to get into, and this one was kind of cool. So what they looked at was an aggregated global food composition database. And they found basically that micronutrient deficiencies remain widespread globally, especially in low and middle income countries and among population groups with increased needs like athletes or pregnant women or breastfeeding women or elderly people. And so what they found was there were certain foods that you should and could include in your diet that are going to ensure that you don't turn into someone who is micronutrient deficient, and sleep issues, obesity issues, weight gain issues, thyroid issues, endocrine hormone issues, fertility issues, a lot of them arise from micronutrient deficiencies. So here's the list of foods that you should just basically have in your house, okay? And I was very pleased when I read this article, because we eat a lot of these foods in our house, okay? These are weird. These are not going to be the foods that your neighbor has in their pantry or fridge, but if you heed my words, this is some of the cool stuff that you should have around. So if you want ideal micronutrient density, add these to your grocery shopping list and have them in your house and learn to cook with them. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Organ meat. All right, liver, heart, kidney, spleen, pancreas, all the weird stuff. Okay. Small fish. That's like sardines, herring, anchovy, mackerel, you know, buying a bunch of wild planet food type of canned and tin stuff. Okay. So organs, small fish. Dark green leafy vegetables. And yeah, I know there's some issues with like kale and spinach and uric acid and, you know, digestive enzyme inhibitors and excess levels of goitrogens. But you know what? You can cook this stuff down. You can steam it. You can mash it. You can puree it. You can even get like the powdered version from guys like Dr. Thomas Cowan. Thomas Cowan's powdered dense vegetables. I do a lot of those because I don't like to eat a lot of the raw roughage and fiber. But dark green leafy vegetables, or like the powdered, you know, pulverized version of those, are really good. Bivalves and crustaceans, okay? Like oysters, mollusks, clams, lobsters, crab. stuff's actually pretty nutrient dense. Just get it from clean waters. I use this company called Seatopia. I get a giant box of seafood and bivalves and crustaceans actually sent to my house, and it's super clean, all sourced from really clean waters. Okay, that's Seatopia. There's my tip for you. I interviewed them too on my show. I'll link to that podcast. Goat. I raise goats. We have goat milk. We don't kill them very much for their meat, but goat meat is also really good. Beef, eggs. Do you like how I did that? I just talked about killing goats. Like it wasn't, no, like we actually don't kill any of our goats. Our goats are milkers and they're pets. Okay. So at the Greenfield house, we aren't out there with like machetes cutting off goats' heads in the morning to make ourselves a goat omelet and mutton, you know, for dinner. That's just not us. We're not those people. Beef, eggs, milk, not like the nasty homogenized pasteurized stuff, like good, dense raw milk, mutton and lamb. Cheese, goat milk, pork, yogurt, pulses, that's like legumes and stuff like that, teff, like amaranth, millet, quinoa, that type of thing. Okay, so I'm going to go through this list one more time. Organ meats, small fish, dark green leafy vegetables, bivalves, crustaceans, goat, beef, eggs, milk, canned fish, mutton, lamb, cheese, goat milk, pork, yogurt, fresh fish, pulses, teff, and canned fish. I think I was redundant there a couple. I think I said canned fish like four times, maybe five times. Yeah, maybe I'm a sardines fan. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking about sardines too much when I'm recording here. But anyways, so you include those in your diet, people, and you will be healthy. You will cover your micronutrient bases. All right. Don't be food phobic. Open yourself up to a wide variety of different foods and you'll absolutely love it. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
Hey, what's up, Ben? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Good, good. So two quick questions. One, on methylene blue, have you seen any studies about maybe the downside of having it at an extended period or over a certain period of time?
Yes, you can overdo with methylene blue. It's a similar mechanism of action if you overdid infrared light. And go ahead and mute yourself while I'm replying if you can. So what I mean by that is that you can get excess reactive oxygen species formation with any of these things that support increased activity of cytochrome C oxidase in the mitochondria. Okay, and because of that, too much can cause neurodegeneration and can cause some issues when taken in excess. Okay, now methylene blue, like we talked about in the last show, where we were kind of like busting some of these myths that have exploded on the internet recently about people taking fish tank cleaner and how it's a waste of time, we established that methylene blue improves mitochondrial function, improves memory consolidation, protects nerve function, acts as a little bit of an antimicrobial. But yeah, it can cause a little bit of excess reactive oxygen species. The other things that it can do is very large doses. It can kill off your gut bacteria. Okay. It can interfere with what are called monoamine oxidase inhibitors. All right, so that basically means that that if you are consuming supplements like antidepressants or a lot of SSRIs, things like that, you should be careful with methylene blue. It should never be combined with antidepressants because you might develop serotonin toxicity or serotonin syndrome. A couple of other things you'd want to be careful with excess methylene blue is that it might increase blood pressure. And it might even affect your taste, like affect your taste in similar ways, like COVID would affect your taste. So few reasons to be careful with methylene blue. But for the most part, like small amounts of like a pharmaceutical grade methylene blue, shout out to my friends at Troscriptions. They make one that's great. You just kind of dissolve it in your mouth. I have no issues with. But yeah, in high doses, there can be some issues with excess methylene blue. So I would say if you're pooping Smurf shit, then you're probably taking too much.
Yeah, no, I'm not that far. I spoke to you in the fall time about a condition I was dealing with for a couple of years, and one of the things they thought it was Bartonella. So one of the protocols was 50 milligrams morning and at night for at least like 6 months. It was a long time. So that's kind of where I was at. But all right, that's helpful. I appreciate it. And one last question. My cousin, he's like 20 years old, had a dirt bike injury when he was younger, broke a piece of his wrist, never like fixed it at the time, and basically a piece died off. So now he's doing a surgery next week, 6 hours, pulling knee bone, putting it in the wrist with the intentions of hoping that the bone regenerates. And then if it doesn't, it's potentially like a real, like very difficult surgery. So one thing that, I was talking to the guys at BioReset, mentioned it, and they were like, definitely TB500, BPC157. Any other regenerative practices besides maybe using like a Juvelite that you would recommend for him after for, trying to get that regeneration to happen?
Well, first of all, Sire G, I think, has one of the best books out there for stuff like this. It's literally called Regenerate. And it's a fantastic book. And it would include some strategies for what you've described in your cousin, which technically the medical term for this, you probably knew this, it's avascular necrosis. Avascular necrosis, it's a bone disease. It's characterized by death of the bone tissue. Usually it's like a temporary or permanent lack of blood supply to the bone tissue. And so what you want to do is you want to increase blood flow to the bone. Believe it or not, stem cell injections have been shown to be beneficial for avascular necrosis. The BPC-157, that's more acting on some of the anti-inflammatory pathways. It may work. TB-500 usually works on collagenous, tensile tissue, elastin, fibers, things like that. I'm not 100% convinced that those two peptides would necessarily be the best way to go. Really, what I would be focusing on would be blood flow, pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, fantastic for that. Infrared therapy, wonderful. Hot, cold contrast, anything that's like a vasodilatory supplement, beetroot extracts, niacinamide, freaking Viagra, right? Fix your wrist and get perma boners too. Who's going to complain about that? But then stem cell injections also, they have been shown to help out with some of these degenerative conditions. And so that would be another one to look into for the avascular necrosis. But because avascular necrosis is really related to blood flow, I'll be focusing on some of these things that can increase blood flow, namely like my top for blood flow are PEMF, the pulse electromagnetic field therapy, the infrared therapy, infrared therapy, 20 minutes once a day is fine. Over the treatment area, a couple times for 10 minutes is fine. PEMF, a couple of times a day for 10 to 20 minutes is fine. I like the Pult Centers unit. The guy, Dr. William Pawluck, Pawluk. He also makes some really good PEMF units. Niacinamide, you can just get like niacinamide powder off of Amazon for dirt cheap. If you're spending all your money on NAD supplements, you could just use that instead. Yeah, beetroot extract or beetroot, it's also a really good one. And then a hot cold contrast, one of my favorite recovery protocols. 5 minutes in the hot tub, 5 minutes in the cold, cold shower or cold soak, cold pool, whatever. 4 minutes and 4 minutes of cold. 3 minutes, 3 minutes of cold, 2-2, 1-1, great hot cold contrast workout. In addition, just like the typical shower, 5 minutes of 20 seconds hot, 10 seconds cold, or if you're a glutton for punishment, 20 seconds cold, 10 seconds of hot. But anyways, yeah, the hot cold contrast is great for blood flow as well. So good questions, man. Good questions. Let's bring somebody else up on stage here.
Do you recommend cold showers or sauna if you are suffering adrenal fatigue or HPA dysfunction?
Oh, HPA, adrenal fatigue or HPA axis dysfunction. Do you do the sauna and the cold shower thing? Well, it's interesting. I just interviewed and I didn't release the podcast yet. These guys, Jay Feldman and Mike Fave, about their bioenergetic model of stress and this idea that, when you look at Hans Selye and him stressing out all these mice and them developing like this adaptive response to stress. Well, there's kind of like eustress or good stress, positive stress that elicits a good result in terms of the body developing resilience and bouncing back stronger and developing better blood sugar sensitivity or the ability to burn fat or better circadian rhythms, from things like, small amounts of heat or cold or exercise or, plant toxins, things like that. But then there's a law of diminishing return where this stress becomes exhaustive. Usually when stress becomes exhaustive is when you're stacking too many of these things. We're talking about the stereotypical person who gets up after being fasted for 18 hours and does their breath work and their sauna and their yoga and their cold pool and their enema and then eats 200 calories for lunch and then fasts until dinner, and does a cold soak before dinner and has dinner and, goes to bed at 8, but gets up at midnight to swing a few kettlebells and go back to bed. The typical person, just like orthorexic about food and fitness. However, for most people, even people with HPA axis dysfunction or adrenal fatigue, small amounts of sauna and cold, especially if you're eating adequate calories, adequate carbohydrates, caring for the body, adequately recovering, getting enough sleep, etc., it can be somewhat restorative. I think that, when you're looking at a lot of this stuff, the dose is the poison, as with most hormetic stressors. So would a 60-minute sauna session followed by 10 to 15 minutes of cold therapy be excessive? Probably. Would doing 15 to 30 minutes of flow yoga, in the sauna or sitting and reading a magazine and then, taking a quick 2 to 5 minute cold shower in the morning as a way to jumpstart your day be off? I don't think so. So, of course, you can track. You can track your HRV. You can use like a Dutch hormone analysis, a Dutch urinary hormone analysis to see what your hormones and your endocrine system are doing. Well, you can pay attention to your sleep parameters. You can pay attention to your profile of mood state scores. You know, a lot of times your body knows. Your body keeps the score, as that book goes, book title says. But anyways, you know, for the most part, painting with a broad brush, sauna and cold pool are not a big no-no for people with adrenal fatigue or HPA axis dysfunction. Just make sure you're well slept, well fed, caring for the body, engaging in plenty of self-love, and not viewing these as ways to beat up the body, but rather as simple ways to jumpstart and get a little bit of energy for the day. If something energizes you and doesn't exhaust you, you know, when you finish it, if you're just dead dog tired and depleted and shriveled up like a raisin from all your sweating and shivering from all the cold, yeah, it's too much. But if you're just like, ooh, yeah, I feel great, ready to start the day now. And that's kind of how you want to feel in that case. It's fine, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, let's go ahead and go with one more question here.
I it's kind of a broad question, but do you have anything you recommend for like kind of reversing muscle atrophy?
Reversing muscle atrophy. There can be a variety of causes for muscle atrophy. We talked about the avascular necrosis, and that's more for bone, but it's a blood flow issue. And it can be blood flow and hypoxia in the muscle. It can be, of course, lack of physical activity. It can be aging. And can be malnutrition, some of those micronutrient deficiencies that we talked about earlier. It can be even things like muscular dystrophy, right? Muscular dystrophy, and then, you know, so it can be definitely genetic and genetically related. You know, spinal muscle atrophy, that's a genetic condition. You know, there are other conditions like ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, which damages the motor nerve cells that control the muscles. You know, MS, that's when your body's immune system attacks the central nervous system, causes issues with the nerve fibers, the nerves don't fire properly, the muscles don't fire properly, the muscles atrophy. Okay, myositis, that's inflammation of the muscles. Okay, and that can cause muscle weakness and muscle pain. A lot of times that'll occur after an infection or as a side effect of an autoimmune condition or as a reaction to a vaccine. Yeah, I said vaccine. I don't know why all these podcasters are afraid of saying the word vaccine. They're like, I don't want to get canceled. You know what? Cancel me. Yeah, I said that vaccines could potentially cause atrophy. Cancel me. Go ahead. Go for it. I don't care. I'll pop up somewhere else. Anyways, though, so the idea is that, you know, what do you do about it? You know, a lot of things can cause. So adequate protein. That's definitely, I'm a huge fan of essential amino acids and maintaining a high amino acid pool and also a high ATP pool. Okay, there are certain companies like Ian Mitchell's Wizard Sciences company that makes this stuff called Ampigen, which is like an ATP replenisher. They make one called Olympic RX, which is an ATP replenisher. You can buy ATP on like Amazon. Okay, then Keon makes creatine and aminos. Those two are fantastic for staving off muscle atrophy. I'll be interviewing that guy, Ian Mitchell, on my podcast, I think in a couple of weeks. You can listen to that one soon, but maintaining adequate ATP levels, maintaining adequate amino acid levels, maintaining adequate creatine phosphagen levels, keeping those pools elevated. Okay, resistance training, weight bearing resistance training. If you can't do that, oh my gosh, electrical muscle stimulation using one of those Catalyst electrical muscle stimulation suits. Holy moly, that will build muscle like nuts. I do a session on that twice a month. And I swear, my muscles are bigger within like 5 days after. I can only do it twice a month because I'm so sore afterwards, right? As a matter of fact, it's my hack. If I know I'm going to have a few super busy days where I can't work out that much, I'll just do a Catalyst session and I don't even want to work out because I'm so sore. So electrical muscle stimulation can be really good for that. Sauna, heat stress has been shown to be able to maintain muscle even in a state of inactivity or when you can't load on a joint due to an injury or something like that. Okay, so that's another good one. And again, like I'm assuming that this would be a case where you can't necessarily weight train. Okay, and then just maintaining blood flow. A lot of the stuff I talked about with avascular necrosis, you know, blood flow precursors, you know, BEAT and arginine and you know, PEMF, infrared sauna, infrared light, anything like that. But in my opinion, if I could choose two modalities to decrease atrophy and like bounce back muscle as fast as possible, it'd be go get some amino acids and creatine and ATP, son, and then add some electrical muscle stimulation into the mix. That's assuming you can't just like lift heavy shit in the gym because there's some other issues going on that's keeping you from biomechanically being able to do that. And like if you were to do like a you know, 2 or 3 electrical muscle stimulation sessions a week and just like jam on the amino acids, like 40 grams of amino acids a day, in addition to about 0.8 grams per pound of protein a day, 5 grams of creatine a day, and keep the ATP levels elevated, you'll stay swole, or at least you'll keep those muscles from atrophying. This is not medical advice. If you've got Lou Gehrig's disease or something, like, go to a doctor and talk to someone who actually has a doctor t-shirt on, at least, which would not be me. Don't trust me, because I'm not a doctor. I'm just a podcaster. So anyways, those are my tips. And gosh, you guys, an hour went by fast. But I'm going to put all of the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/442. bengreenfieldlife.com/442. We got to really get on that bandwagon of Ben Greenfield Life. So anyways, though, leave your questions, your own tips, your comments, your feedback over there. Thank you to everybody who joined me on Twitter. And subscribe to the newsletter at bengreenfieldlife.com or follow me on any of the social media channels to find out when we go live with these live episodes. And I think that about wraps it up. I feel a little lonely without my podcast sidekick, Jay. I hope he's okay down there in the storms and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the flash floods and whatever else is going on in his backyard, all these acts of God that are keeping him from achieving his full potential. But he's happy nonetheless, or at least he will be after he listens to the tips I've given in this episode. All right, you guys, I love you. Thank you for listening in. Until next time, I'm Ben Greenfield, signing out from bengreenfieldlife.com/442. Have an amazing week. More than ever these days, people like you and me need a fresh, entertaining, well-informed, and often outside-the-box approach to discovering the health and happiness and hope that we all crave. So I hope I've been able to do that for you on this episode today. And if you liked it, or if you love what I'm up to, then please leave me a review on your preferred podcast listening channel, wherever that might be, and just find the Ben Greenfield Life episode. Say something nice. Thanks so much. It means a lot.